Think about that song. It's the blood that cleanses me. How does it go, Rita? It's the blood. That took my place as redeeming sacrifice washes me bright, whiter than the snow, than the snow. My Jesus, God's precious sacrifice. I'm not a good singer. Well, I didn't say it all. Help us out here, Mike.
Yeah, I guess I could say a few things. It said that the high priest went in once a year to meet with God, and but it said not without blood. And Mark made the statement, he said he couldn't go in there empty-handed. And so you think about that priest going in there with a little bowl of blood or whatever he would have, you know. So we need to translate that into the spirit. And what that means in the spirit is you are not going to be meeting with God without the life of Christ in you. That's what the blood stands for. The blood is the life of God, the life of Christ in you. And remember, Jesus said, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood." He was talking about getting his life into your life. And without that life in you, you're not going to be meeting with God. And, there's so many good things in God that we don't get to partake of unless we really are in that place of having his life in us. And just as a couple of examples, Seth used to tell a story that the United States one time sent some really sophisticated hearing equipment over to Norway for the sailors that operated submarines. And this equipment was so sophisticated that you could hear a pin drop on the ocean floor. But the Norwegian sailors couldn't use it because their hearing was damaged from listening to loud rock and roll. And that's what it's like if we. If we're not in a place with God, we're not going to be meeting with God. And all, well, I shouldn't say all, almost all of God's promises come with a condition. And as an example of that, sometimes when you're talking to somebody about God, and maybe it's kind of pointing out that they're maybe not in the place they should be with Him. They'll quote you this scripture. There's therefore now no condemnation. But you know what? That scripture goes just a little bit further. It says, there's therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ. Uh-oh. You just got cut out of that promise if you're not in Christ. And so, it is funny the things that come to your mind, just like today during the message. Before I found Christ, I was a TV watcher. And I used to watch this show called Columbo. It was a detective TV show. I think the guy's name was Peter Falk. I can't remember, but I mean, he was just an absolute pro. And I'm telling you, if you didn't stick I mean, that guy could solve a crime. It was amazing. And if you didn't pay close attention, he was going to lose you. You wouldn't know what's going on. You had to just be so absorbed and so paying attention in that show. And it made me think of, that's sort of how we have to be with God. You know, God has to be number one in our life. He can't just be one of many things. You know, we can still work, we can still have fun, we can still do things, but Jesus has to be number one. And if we don't really pay attention to him, you know, like the thing that I thought about on Columbo was, you know, when I'm reading the scripture and I'm trying to decipher what is God saying to me spiritually, sometimes I get to the place where I realize I just can't get it. My mind can't absorb this. My mind can't see it. And I give up. You know, I can't get this. I'm sorry. And that's why that show Columbo came to my mind, is once he loses you, you can't follow the story anymore. So, and you know, Mark mentioned today that the testament wasn't valid until the person had died. That's like an inheritance. You know, an inheritance is not in effect until the other person dies. So that's what it's like with God. Until you die, and I don't mean 6 feet under the ground die, I mean, until you die to your own life and take in his life, you're going to miss out on so much good that God has for us. You know, so mainly what I'm saying is we need to really make Christ our life so that we can really get all the good that God is. Remember, Jesus one time said, "Taste and see that I am good." And the things of this life just become dung. I mean, they become unnecessary. They become, you know, no spiritual value to them. So anyway, let us all really dig in here to God. As the time is growing near, we're seeing the signs left and right here. And, you know, I've been a little bit worried about what's happening just lately here, how they're expecting peace for the Middle East and everything is looking really good. And man, those words came to me when they asked Jesus, "When is this going to happen?" And he said, "When they say peace and safety, then come a sudden destruction." You know, I just feel like that time is drawing close to us. And so now is the time. You know, Mark said we've got this little 80, 90, 100, whatever years on this earth here. Remember when the children of God were in the desert, God told them why he had them in there. He says, "Are you going to keep my word or no?" So that's what our little 80, 90, 100 years is for. Are we going to keep God's word? Are we going to follow God? Are we going to make him our life? Amen, brothers.
Thank you, Brother Mike.
Amen.
You're being very generous with our years. Very generous. Now you're 100, huh?
I've always said triple digits, Mark.
You still saying it?
Yes, I am, unless the Lord comes first.
I'll just take this opportunity to say, Mark, you sound really good and strong in your voice and in your mind. And, you know, I mean, I'm really, really happy with it.
Amen.
Mike, amen. It's the Lord.
It is. Always is.
You know, in the old flesh, I'm about running out of gas. It's the blood that strengthens me.
We're not on mute. You keep changing.
You're unmuted, Larry. Okay.
Okay, well, as long as I'm unmuted, I have a question. Back in Revelation that you referred to, chapter one.
I don't think they can hear you.
Oh. We can hear you.
Okay, right. Okay.
Am I unmuted? Yeah. Go ahead.
It says in verse 6, that he has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. The fact that it's saying there, it's pretense that we have been made kings and priests. How are you interpreting that?
So what's the question?
What does that mean? That we have already been made kings and priests unto God.
Can I answer that one?
Sure, go ahead, Mike.
Anybody.
You know, a priest is a go-between, okay? And the typical understanding is a go-between God and man. We've been made priests of our own family. We go between God and our family in prayer and in everything we can do as a father and as a man. And a king, you know, the word kingdom means a king's domain, which is the area that he has rule over. And we're a king in one sense. We're supposed to have rule over our own spirits and over our own souls and over our own things that we do in life. And so he's made us by his life. He has made us both kings and priests. That's what it means to me.
You know, maybe you should tell us what it doesn't mean. Go ahead, Larry, you know. What doesn't it mean?
It doesn't mean that in ourselves, you know, that's not how the ability that we would have, but in Jesus Christ, we can do all things.
Yeah, well, one of the things it doesn't mean is what this prosperity doctrine is trying to tell people. That we all deserve to become millionaires. We all deserve to become wealthy. We deserve to live like a king, you know, have servants, everything, you know, the latest and the best and everything. No, that verse does not support the outer court prosperity doctrine.
Mike, thank you for that explanation. That was very good. But I'm wondering if there's not more to that, maybe in the future, you know, in the age to come. You know, will we not have a certain authority, you know, in the age to come in the universe, in service to God?
Well, of course, Larry, read the letters to the seven churches here. He that overcometh, you know, will I let to sit in my throne. He that overcometh, will I give authority over the nations. You know, he that overcometh will rule and reign with me. And yet we have to, you know, we came into this world with carnal ideas about what that means, to rule and reign. And we need to get rid of our carnal thinking. You know, maybe rule and reign over this soul, you know, take authority, rule here in this tabernacle as a king.
Yeah, Larry.
Yeah, I believe there is a place in the future. And, you know, I've often asked the question, well, how will we do that, Lord? You know, are we going to have some big position or something? You and I heard people say, well, Pat Robertson's going to be the president, you know, and oh, come on, guys, that's not the way it's going to be. How will we rule? With righteousness. And I think, in a sense, we may already be ruling and not even know it. If you're righteous and you're uncompromisingly righteous, you know what? Your neighbors are going to find that out. They're going to know. So we will rule in righteousness. When the body of Christ insists on walking in righteousness, anybody that tries to walk any other way, it's just not going to fly.
Well, thank you, brethren, for that explanation. The fact that it says he's already made us kings and priests had me a little bit thrown, but anyway, thank you so much for that.
And remember, it says right before that, and washed from our sins in his blood. That's when we're made kings and priests, when we're washed of our sins in his blood. We have his blood in us.
When the body of Christ, when the church has the fullness of Christ in it, there is no power on earth ever going to be able to stop it. Don't you agree, Larry?
Yes. Yes, I agree.
I have one little thing to toss in there. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but wasn't it before Jesus became the king and priest after the order of Melchizedek? Was it not that a king could not be a priest and a priest could not be a king? Or do I have this wrong? I think it may have something to do with that.
But you're asking me?
I'm asking everybody.
Oh.
I did a little bit of a study on it a while back, but what I found out is that a priest could not be a king and a king could not be a priest until Jesus was called the, I don't know the exact words, a high priest or a king or high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He was the first to be called that. So if he's saying that he's made us already kings and priests, maybe it means that we're already made like him. That's could be
so
wrong.
Melchizedek was the king of Salem, wasn't he?
Yes.
But yes. He was the only one that was a king and a priest.
And he was also a priest, so Abraham gave tithe to him.
Yep. What Jeremy
said, very good.
What Jeremy said is true, but there is an exception. David was a king and a priest.
Yes.
He prophesied. So
that's what
David was an exception. He was both a king and a priest.
Yeah. Yes, I was going to say, I believe David was anointed both as king and anointed as priest.
Yeah, David was an exception to a lot of things. I mean, David put the Ark of the Covenant right in his own yard, so to speak, with its own little tabernacle. And he went into the holy place before, you know, a man should have died.
Going in like that. Schubert. He ate that which was forbidden to be eaten.
Yes, he ate the holy bread. He was an exception to a lot of things. And maybe this is why the Lord said the tabernacle of David is going to be restored. Go ahead, Brother Daniel.
I think what you were mentioned, Larry, about that he had made us, it means that we have been made, and we have been made to be king and priest, and we are made to be that through the anointing. Because through the anointing, the priest was anointed to serve, to minister. And through the anointing, the king was anointed to reign, rule, or lead the people. So I think this authority is already given. I think this authority is already in place because everything that we have access to in Christ is available. Problem in these things is ourselves, and we don't get it. We don't reach out to it. We do not submit to it. But we are surely anointed to step forth to minister to one another. And we are also called to walk as a king. It means that the battle that you are in, my brother, it's my battle. We go into it together. We go into a full victory in it together. There is a reason for that when we see the full armor of God, that it's not possible for me to put it on me. It's a body operation. I could not put up the breastplate because it's looked on my backside. I need my brother to look behind me to take care of me. That is also what we see, what he spoke to about the serpent in Eden. He was going to bite the heel of humanity. He was going to bite Eve in the heel. It means that he's going to come sneaking behind us. And that is why you need me and I need you to look behind us. Because when we are moving on, we need to go together. We need to watch over our brother. We are called in this hour that to be a brother's keeper, to watch over one another. Let the purpose of God come forth within us and lay down the difference between us and take care of one another in this hour. This is the reality of our calling. This is the reality of the life in the anointing of God that want to make us priest or king. And so this is available for us today. Judas asked Jesus, how are you going to manifest it unto us? He didn't say, when are you going to come? How are you going to come? How are you going to manifest unto us, but not the world? It's John chapter 14 and verse 23, I think. And he says, whosoever keep my word and love my word, my Father will always also love him, and me and my Father, the Son and the Father, both of them are going to come and make the abode within us. So that means that when you receive the blood, you receive the Son. You have the Son of living God within your life. And when you receive the Spirit of God, you are receiving God in your life. Both the Son and the Father is no reality. Now they are reality in your life. And when these things start to come forth within you, they are manifested within you. So I agree with these things that we are not only called to be a priest or king, it's on the table. Pick it up. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Well, thank you, brethren. Thank you for your participation. And we've had a good meal.
Amen.
I guess if we're finished, we can say goodbye. Does anyone have anything else to say? So let us say goodbye.
Goodbye. God bless you. Goodbye.
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 Farewell.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Bless you. Bless you.
Bless you. Bless you.